Guess you got me there, Jamie? Hello. Hello. Test 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello. Maybe not. I was okay. I'm gonna go for Bill's. I'm got it on, but it's not working. Hello. Hello. I bet this one works. Why don't you take my microphone and see if you can make it work? And I'll use this one. I guess you can figure out that with the other stuff going on, there weren't any more of those back there after I pulled the wire out of the first one. You should have seen Jamie's face when I started waving it around. Kind of interesting. You know, we all have people in our life like that. We all have people like Josh that, you know, they just annoy us. And they really get on our nerves and they drive us crazy. One of the things that God does in our life sometimes is He makes us the people to talk with them. And that's what we want to do this morning, is we want to spend some time talking about what it means to make room in your heart for other people. We're going to kind of finish up this series that we've been working our way through in Walk Across the Room by looking at a passage of Scripture where Jesus is on His way somewhere else. He's doing something entirely different. And yet in the middle of that, He pulls up and He stops and He reschedules the entire thing that's going on in His life and He makes room for someone else that is reaching out to Him. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. And I'm going to begin reading for you in verse 2. It's kind of an extended passage of Scripture, but one that I think will give us some real insight into what God has to say to us this morning about this walking across the room and making ourselves available to other people who need to hear about God through us. Mark chapter 2. If you're following along in the Bible that's in the chair, you should find that on page 710. Mark chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading for you in verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around Him while He was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at His feet and he pleaded earnestly with Him. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around Him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind Him in the crowd and touched His cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch His clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from Him. He turned around in the crowd and He asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," His disciples asked, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at His feet. Trembling with fear, she told Him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." When Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow Him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and He said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at Him. And after He put them all out, He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with Him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and He said, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the little girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Now, Jesus is in the middle of this huge crowd of people who have pressed their way in on him. And he's got something that he's in the process of doing. He's on the way to somewhere else. And while he is doing that, the woman makes her way through the crowd, and she reaches out, and she doesn't grab him, she doesn't stop him, she doesn't pull him up short. She simply reaches out and she touches his cloak. Because her faith is so strong that she believes that if she could just do that, then she would be healed. And she is. And Jesus, understanding that spiritual power has gone out of him, stops and has this encounter with her. Now, the interesting thing to keep in mind here is that when he stops and he has this encounter, while he is talking with her, the little girl passes away. And then after he finishes the encounter with the woman, he goes on over to the house, and the little girl is healed. A couple of things that I want to talk with you about this morning as you think about making room in your heart for other people. We've talked as we've been in this process of talking about making a journey to other people who want to have a relationship with Christ and who don't know what it means to know him. We've talked about this concept of being willing to choose to make ourselves available to other people. We've talked about this idea of developing a heart for people. We did that a couple of weeks ago when we said that the pattern of Jesus is to go to encounter people, to spend time with them, see their need, and then when you see their need, the compassion grows in your heart and in your life. Last week, we talked about opening our heart to other people. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk about making room in your heart. And even more than that, I want to talk about making room in your schedule for other people. A few different things that I want to call to your attention from this passage of Scripture. The first one is this. Most of us live a life full of needs and responsibilities, right? Is there anybody here that doesn't have enough to do this week? Is there anybody here that doesn't have, you know, more on your calendar, more on your schedule, more on your plate that you're going to be able to keep up with? And what happens to us sometimes is, just like Jesus, we feel like we are surrounded by people who all want a piece of us. Does anybody remember the Pac-Man game? You remember that? I'll maybe date myself just a little bit. You know, maybe you see it in the classics thing that they have out at the mall this time of the year. If you go back and you look at the Pac-Man game, you know, the little fellow that goes through and he eats all the little dots. You ever feel like the dot? You ever feel like I'm the dot and everybody is after me and everybody wants a piece of me? If anybody gets one more piece, I'm just going to disappear and there's not going to be anything left. I feel like the dot sometimes, and I'm convinced that Jesus is that way. When you look at him, he's constantly preaching, he's constantly teaching, and today as we look at this event, he's trying to get away from them, he's trying to draw away, he's trying to find a solitary place where he can be alone, and yet the crowd continues to follow him. Wherever he goes, the crowd is there. They see him going to the other side in a boat sometimes, and when he gets in the boat and he starts to the other side of the lake, they run around on the land, and when he gets out of the boat, they're standing there waiting for him. See, one of the things that we have to discern in our mind and our heart, one of the things that we have to come to grips with is the ability to discern between authentic calls from God, things that God is calling us to do, and inauthentic things. Things that may be real, they may be valid, but they aren't your call. They aren't on your agenda. They're not something that God would have you do. One of the hardest things I had to learn in ministry, one of the hardest things I had to learn in life, is that not every need that we encounter is a call to ministry from God. Let me repeat that. Not every need that you encounter, not every real need, is a call to ministry from God. You can't do it all. Take a look at what is going on in Jesus' life right here. There is this huge crowd that is with him. And then Jairus comes up and he kneels before him and he says, "My 12-year-old daughter is dying." Now, when you think crowd, I want you to think not just, "Oh, I'm out at the mall and it's busy." That's not what this word means. This word for crowd carries with it the concept of what happens when you're having, you know, the real football game, the one between Dallas and the Redskins, and the crowd lets out. You know what it's like when the stadium is finished and the game is over and you're trying to get through the crowd and the people are all there? That's the kind of concept that this word represents for you. There is this mass of people that are pressing around him, and everyone in the crowd has a need. They're all after him. They all want something from Jesus. And he can't get to every single one of them because there are three competing priorities that he has to come to grips with in this passage of Scripture. There is the work of the Father. That's what that passage of Scripture says. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus said, "God sent me here for a specific reason." And some of those reasons might be here in the crowd, but not every one of the crowd is a part of that reason today, at this moment. Today, at this moment, I have a 12-year-old girl whose father has come and who has knelt before me and said she is dying. And so the Scripture says that he begins to follow Jairus. He begins to make his way through the crowd, following him on the way to his home. And while he's on his way, the woman reaches out and touches him. She's not, I'm confident, the only one who touched him. When you go back and you read that passage of Scripture, and Jesus says, "Somebody touched me," the disciples, it kind of goes something like this: "Well, duh. Yeah, somebody touched you." And he said, "No, you don't get it. Somebody touched me in a significantly spiritual way. And spiritual power has gone out from me. And because of that," here's the second point I want you to see. Jesus was willing to interrupt or reschedule his plan in order to accomplish his Father's will. I originally wrote "interrupt" in my notes, and then as I was praying through it last night, I couldn't sleep very well. I thought, you know, Jesus knew what was going on. He wasn't surprised by anything that happened. But from a human sense, I think he had an agenda. He had a schedule. He was something he was going to go to accomplish. When he said, "I'm going to follow you, Jairus, to your home," that was what he fully intended to do. But then something happened. God reoriented his day. And that's where I want to pause for just a moment and camp with you. Because for many of us, that's where we break down. We plan our day, we plan our schedule, we plan our week, we plan our agenda, we know where we're going and what we want to accomplish, and we pray about that, and we hear from God, "Yes, this is what you should be doing," and we start on the way, just like Jesus did. He's journeying with Jairus to his home, but then along the way, God steps in to reschedule something. And I think that's where I break down and where you break down many times. Because when we hear that little, still, small voice, like in the skit, when all of a sudden the window of opportunity opens and someone has some legitimate spiritual questions, "What makes you different?" We look at our agenda and we look at our calendar and we look at our schedule and we go, "You know what, God, not today. I've got too many other things that I've put on my list. I've got too many other pieces on the plate. I've got too many other things to accomplish, too many other items to fulfill." And we keep on going rather than stop. And I love the fact that Jesus, on his way to Jairus' home. Now, keep in mind, this wasn't some idle journey. It wasn't some minor need. Right? As a matter of fact, when he stopped, while he was dealing with a woman, she died. The little girl did. Now you think Jesus didn't know that was going to happen? Of course he did. And yet the Father puts something else in front of him to do. You see, we struggle with that, don't we? We struggle with interrupting our schedule. We struggle with interrupting our plan. Most of us schedule our days and our weeks so full that God couldn't get anything in there if he wanted to. He'd have to pull us up short, just like he did with her in Jesus' life. And when he does, sometimes we turn him off instead of rescheduling our day. God had a very significant addition to Jesus' life. Go back and look at what the Scripture has to say about her. It says that she had been suffering greatly. It means to be under great emotional and physical stress for 12 years. Scripture says not only that, but she had spent everything that she had. There was nothing left. The medical expenses were out of control. And she was getting worse and not better. There was no other hope other than Jesus. She had done everything else that she knew how to do. And one of the things that I just want to kind of put in here parenthetically as you think about this concept of discerning what God is calling you to and what God is not calling you to is don't always go to the loudest voice. Don't always assume that the one is screaming the loudest and the one that is demanding the most attention and the one that is calling your name and the one that is knocking on your door is the one that you should be paying attention to. Because sometimes the one that is doing that the loudest is not the one God wants you to speak with. He's not the one that he wants you to interrupt your schedule for. There is a crowd there. Hundreds, if not thousands of people. And I'm confident that they were all calling his name. I'm confident that they were all seeking his attention. That many people grabbed him and pulled him along the way. But I love what Thoreau says. He said, most men leave lives of quiet desperation and they go to the grave with the song still in them. Sometimes the greatest need, that need of despair, that need of I have nowhere else to go, is very, very quiet. And you have to pay attention and you have to be discerning and you have to listen and you have to look and you have to be in tune with the Spirit. Jesus is making his way through the crowd. Dozens, if not hundreds of people touched him and reached out and pulled his cloak and called his name. There was one who quietly slips through, reaches out and touches the hem of his garment in a spiritually significant way. And he stopped because he knew. You have to listen and you have to stay in tune with God's Spirit to say, today, Josh has got something going on. He's seeing something different. And he's got a question about that. And maybe he's not my favorite guy. But all of a sudden, God's going to open the door. That's the third thing that I want to say to you. There is always enough room. There's always enough time to do what God wants you to do. Let me repeat that for you. There is always enough time to do what God wants you to do. Now listen, there's not enough time to do everything. If you fall into that trap, you're dead. I was having a conversation with someone about ministry the other day, and we were talking about that, and I said, you know, one of the things that was very difficult for me to learn early on is that if you're going to be a minister and you're going to last long term, you have to learn how to go to bed at night with things undone, with needs unmet, with people who are still hurting. Because if you don't, you won't last. It will kill you because the needs never end. Hurting people are everywhere. And what you have to do is you have to prayerfully ask God, God, is this one that you are calling me to? Is this something that you would have me be involved in? You know, there's enough time to do all that God wants you to do, but notice that there wasn't necessarily enough time for everyone in the crowd. Jesus is leaving the crowd. He's working his way through the crowd. He didn't stop for everyone. Had he stopped for everyone, he would not have been able to accomplish what God wanted him to do. There wasn't enough time for all the servants and friends of Jairus. Go back and look at that passage of Scripture. One of the things that they said to him, it says, while he was talking with the woman, the friends, some men from his house showed up and they said, Jairus, quit bothering him. It's too late. She's died. And there's a great, great passage of Scripture. You should go back and look at that in Matthew chapter 5. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. In verse 36 it says, ignoring what they said. What would it be like to be ignored by Jesus? I kind of think that's cute. I like that. Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler. It's like a t-shirt slogan almost. You know what he said to Jairus? If you go back and you look at the original language, he looked at him and he said, no fear, just faith. No fear, just faith. What powerful words. Jairus, your daughter has died while Jesus has been here talking and dealing with this other woman. Jesus ignored them completely. He didn't address them, didn't talk to them, didn't say anything to them, didn't even acknowledge that they'd said anything. He just looked at Jairus and he said, no fear, just faith. And then he picks up and he goes on his way to Jairus' house. When he gets to Jairus' home, he didn't even have time for the mourners. It's awesome. If you think ignoring the people who came to tell him was something, look at what he does with the people that are mourning at the house. He throws them out of the room. Literally the word means, get out of here. Go away. Why are you mourning? She's not dead. She's just asleep. And they laughed at him. See, there's not enough time for everyone in the crowd. There's not enough time for all the friends that come from Jairus' house. There's not enough time for all the mourners. He's not dealing with them. That's not his call from God that day. There are two things that he was going to do. He's going to heal the woman and he's going to heal the girl. And all the rest of it is just window dressing. And you see, when you hear from God, when you've prayerfully committed to Him that day, and when you've heard, this is the one that I'm calling you to, then you clear your schedule, you clear your life, you reschedule what you need to schedule, and you do what God has called you to do. There wasn't enough time for everyone else, but there was enough time to do what God had called him to. We all live lives like that, don't we? Overbooked, overscheduled, absolutely no margin at all. About a month ago, my wife goes home, usually in this time of the year, January, February, somewhere around here for a week, to spend time with her mother. And so we have this addition in our home, the new dog. It's a year old now, but it's still new as far as I'm concerned. I'm hoping that if I keep acting like it's not there, it'll just disappear one day. It doesn't work. Still there. Actually, she is the most adorable little thing you ever seen. She's trying to win me over, but I'm not going to let her. So, you know, I've got this full schedule going on. I've got, you know, work all week long, and I've got, you know, things that are taking place two times a day. I have to walk the dog now, and, you know, she's got little bows in her hair. Like, seriously? I cannot walk a dog that has bows in her hair. You know, so she only gets to walk after dark when no one can see. I know it's not true, honey, but it sounds good. She does have bows, little pink ones. So I got all this stuff, you know, full schedule. She's going to be gone, but I got it under control. I got my week scheduled. I got my week planned. There's no room for anything else, but we're ready to go. So I drop my wife off at the airport at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. I start my day, and at 10 o'clock the phone rings. One of my daughters had a car wreck. And all of a sudden, my schedule has disappeared. Now we're taking cars to the body shop, and now we're taking the daughter to the doctor two or three times a week. And, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you that my other daughter was having oral surgery and getting four teeth, wisdom teeth taken out that week. And the first daughter was also going to move on Saturday, which was all great, except for now she's broken her foot in the car and she can't move on Saturday. And so now I get to help her move. And, oh, by the way, we get dry sockets on two of the teeth. And now, you know, we're going back to the dentist and back to the doctor and all this kind of stuff. And so all of a sudden, my week that was already full is adding five or six things a day. Two trips to Crofton in the morning. One day, four trips to Crofton back and forth. But see, here's what I discovered that week. There's always time to do what God wants you to do. If you love somebody and care for them. Now, if you don't love and if you don't care and if they're not as important to you as your schedule and your agenda and what you're trying to accomplish, then of course there isn't any time. Call me and ask me if I have time for another business meeting. No. My schedule is full. Call me and ask me if I have time to go fishing. We can talk. Things can be rearranged. I'm just saying, a man's got to have his priorities. And so the issue is not whether or not we are overscheduled. We all are. The issue is, am I listening to God today? Am I discerning where He wants me to go? And am I willing when He calls? When I hear that little small voice that says, David, today, there's a need over there that I want you to meet. Am I willing to reschedule my time, reorient my life, because I care, and make myself available to be used by God? Three different things that I want to just close with this morning as we finish up. Number one is discernment. You have to ask God to direct you. You see, when you sit down and you go, okay, this is my schedule for the day, or this is my schedule for the week, or these are the things that I'm going to do, there should be a peace in there. And Granny Hedgepeth, you've heard me talk about her a lot. She wasn't a very spiritual woman. I just got to tell you, she wasn't, okay? But there's some things that she had learned. And she used to always say this. I mean, you know, actually she had a little tagline on the end of it. She used to say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And she would say, God willing, and the creek don't rise. Part of that's country and part of that's spiritual. Country is you may not be able to get out because the water might rise. Part of it is God willing. God, this is what I'm going to do today. This is on my agenda. This is on my schedule. These are the things. It's irresponsible not to do that. But it's also irresponsible not to put a caveat in there that says, God, if you want and when you direct, I'll reorient. I'll reschedule. What does the little GPS say to you? Recalculating? I'll recalculate. Be willing to be interrupted or rescheduled by God. When He calls you and says, there's something else here that I want you to do. And trust and believe that God will give you all that you need to serve Him and to serve others. Of all the things that I read in that passage of Scripture this week, the one thing that I heard most loudly and clearly was when Jesus looked at Jairus and He said, no fear, just faith. Don't be afraid to reschedule. Don't be afraid to step back and go, no, that's not one that God is calling me to. Don't be afraid to step into something and say, this is one that God is calling me to. He will give me the words. He will give me the resources. He will give me the time. He will give me the ability. No fear. Just faith. Let's pray. God, I thank You this morning for the opportunity that we all have to be used by You. And Lord, we confess to You this morning that there are times in our life when we just turn You off. We don't pay attention. We don't listen. We have already made our schedule. We have already made our plan. We have already started down the road. And when You step into our life and when You reschedule us and when You direct us towards someone else, it throws us off kilter. And sometimes we shut down. God, I pray that this week, as we make our calendar, as we make our schedule, as we make our plans, we will do that asking You all along the way, God, is there something else that You want me to add to this? And when we are fulfilling that schedule and when we're walking our way through it, Lord, I pray that we will always be listening to You. Listening for that still small voice in the back of our mind and heart that says, there's someone over there. They're not loud. They're not screaming. They're not jumping up and down.